And that is the parable. No, the first one's the parable of the 10 virgins. This one's the parable of the talents. And the subtitle to this would simply be productive. I think that's a good way of looking at this. Both parables begin by establishing a connection with the kingdom of heaven, and they also deal with the return of Jesus. Last week, you know, be prepared for the return of Jesus. This week it is be productive with the things that Jesus has left, because there's an accounting that comes about. So if you're there at Matthew chapter 25, we'll look at verses 14 through 30. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one, to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Really, it's very simple and straightforward to look at the things that you see in here. And one of the things that we need to do, and we did it last week, is kind of explain a few things here. Now, the first thing that happens is that there is a distribution of things. A man is leaving his goods in charge of his servants there in verse 14. There were 3 servants, and each one received a different amount. A talent, as it's, Each one was expected to do something with the goods. Now, that's almost like it's unsaid that that's what's supposed to happen. But you see that 2 of them did actually do something and the other one didn't. So we've got the facts on this. Now, a talent is a monetary unit. It's not an ability or a skill or something along that line. It was a weight of silver. There was a talent of silver and a talent of gold. And most of the time in the scriptures, it's talking about a talent of silver. The talent here would amount to 6,000 denarii. And a denarius was a laborer's wage for the day, daily wage. So if you think about this, and that's supposed to be 6,000, it's 6,000 days' wages. And the Hebrew year was 300 days. So we're talking about 20 years of common laborer's wages is what one talent represented. Now you go through all of that and you realize, you know, we could talk dollars and cents, and I've seen things like this and notate. The problem with figuring it out, I've got a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and it wants to give you an amount. Well, the amount that it's given you is what a talent would have been worth in 1945. Hardly useful today, 70 years later, you know. But if we realize that what this represented as far as to the working man, we can understand this perfectly. It's 20 years' wages. That's just a fantastic amount when you think about this. Now, what happens then in verse 19 is there comes a settling up of things. There comes an accounting. The ones who had received these goods, they're going to have to give an accounting for it. Now, the five talent servant received accordingly to what he had done. The two talent man did as well. Five talent man received five. The two talent man received two, and they were both told the same thing. And the idea is they had both done well. No problem with that at all. But then there's the one talent man. Now, a lot of times, say the one talent man, well, it's kind of a mixed bag. You know, he really had done something. And what he'd done was he had chosen to do nothing with what was given to him except to go out here and dig a hole in the ground, bury it, and he returned the whole amount. And I understand that in some cases, people would look at something like this, a zero-sum game, and think, oh, well, that's just great. He didn't lose anything. That's not the point. The point is that the other two were to take these things and invest them. You can even see the fact that the master here was less than thrilled that the man just gave him that amount back. And look at some of the excuses that he has here. You can see in verse 24, he says, well, I knew you were a hard man. You know, when he says that, there's the idea about, well, you're just kind of hard to deal with, hard to get along with, that kind of thing, you know. And then also, then in verse 25, I think he really gets at the heart of the whole matter. He says, well, I was afraid. I was just afraid of this. I was afraid of you. I was afraid of the whole thing. I wasn't really willing to take a risk. Well, who was taking the risk? Was he doing it? And it looks like the man who was giving these talents to others, it seems like they were taking the risk here. He was taking the risk. And it wasn't a very good risk with this fellow. And then he tried to deflect deflect attention from his inaction. In verse 25, he says, look here, what you have, what is yours? And then there's a combination of things here in verse 26 and 27. I think in verse 26 that there's a certain amount of response to what was said, and there's just a little bit of an edge to it. Now, you can call it sarcasm if you want to. It's the idea of, you knew this, did you? You knew that this was the way that I am, which would indicate he's not really that way. He's not really a hard man. He doesn't go out here and just take advantage of people and situations. He doesn't do that. But this man's saying this, and that's the sense in which he says here, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, gathered where I have not scattered. So you know I'm an unfair man. You know that, do you? Let me ask you something. Think about this. In light of what's said, How unfair was he with the one that got the 5 talents and the 2 talents? How unfair was he? Well, he wasn't unfair at all. And so we would understand that he would have been an understanding person, generous, willing to praise those that had done something. But this fellow would just, you know, he just wouldn't have any part of it. And verse 27, even if you'd gained just a little bit. Now, remember now how much the talent was. He had one. Now the others, they had 2 and 5, and they got this back, you know, so they got back, you know, a lot. And you consider, you know, what they got and how much one talent was worth. You know, it's really incredible as to what they gained. And so here's the man with one talent. And if he'd gone out here and done something, and as it said there, I'd have been happy just with interest. I didn't, not a whole talent in return. Just anything, something. But you know, if you take it, go out here and bury it in the ground, it doesn't gain anything, does it? No. Not at all. So what happened there, what he decided to do, no increase, was unacceptable. And really, I think that's the lesson at the end that we're supposed to get from this. You're supposed to be productive. And if you're not, now lots of things can happen. But there isn't something here that just happened. It wasn't like, oh, well, you know, that he invested in windmills and lightning came along and hit them and burned them all down, or in a vineyard or anything like that. That's not what, it wasn't something that happened here. He made a choice that he was just not going to do anything. And that is, of course, unacceptable. So we could see this kind of thing, and then we learn a lot from it, I think. That one thing, there will be an accounting. And what will we do with what we have? And, you know, we'll be called in on this kind of thing. And I also like to be reminded, we'll look at this later, but back up here in verse 15. He gave to each one of these according to his own ability. In other words, he knew his servants and he knew what they were capable of. He didn't give them more than they could handle. That's what it means there. Now, a second thing that we might consider here is the idea that it is also a lesson about stewardship. You know, the word steward normally means the manager of a household or an estate. And it's one who's entrusted with the property of another. And there's something that's said about stewards in the Scriptures. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse 2. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, after saying, as we're supposed to be stewards or servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God, then in verse 2, it says, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Now, while these men were servants, you could say, well, they fit the bill of being a steward, don't they? They were individuals who were entrusted with the property of another. That's right. And so they're expected to be faithful with their charge. Well, whatever it was, you're supposed to be faithful with that. Now, if we are stewards of the mysteries of God, we're supposed to be faithful with that as well. Drop down to verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 4. Who makes you differ from another? What do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did not receive it, why do you boast if you had not received it? So, we'll receive what we use, and you know, you can't boast if it's something else or somebody else's or anything like that. Whatever we have, the point here is that it all comes from God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26, the earth is the Lord and all its fullness. Whatever we've got. So we're not talking about talents here by the way of skill or anything like that. We're not really talking about whatever material possessions we might have, not just any one single thing, but we're talking about everything. However it is that God has blessed us, what are we doing with that? Are we really putting that back into things and seeing increase from it? I think sometimes we have a tendency to look at life, and I appreciate the fact that sometimes, you know, we think to ourselves, well, really, really blessed, you know. We are really blessed, and indeed we are. And in all places and all over the world, we're most blessed in this country with just everything now. I mean, not just with material goods and other things like that, but we're blessed with the freedom and the opportunities that we have. And what do we do with all of those? You know, this is really just, I think it's a lot of the problem that we see in the world today. People will talk about the idea of equality. And I think to myself, they really, somehow or another, everybody's got in the back of their mind that equality means everybody's going to be equal. Everybody's going to be equal. Exactly equal. Equal. And first of all, that's an impossibility. Men and women are never going to be equal. I don't care what the women's movement says. They can't be. Men and women will be equal when men start giving birth to babies. There's a fundamental difference right there. Now, there can be equal opportunities. I understand that. But if everyone were equal, let's just go into the business world for a moment. If everyone were equal at, Martha and I toured the Ford plant up at Detroit. If everyone were equal at the Ford plant, there wouldn't be any bosses. There's probably people working there think that'd be a great thing. There wouldn't be any employees either. Everybody be equal. What do you think? Would anything get done in the run of a day? Who's going to say what, where, when, and how? Who does that? Well, we understand that's how it works. That's how it works in the system of our government. Like it or not, we have kind of a pyramid system of order in our government, in our legal system, and other things like that. You know what happens if the court up here someplace in a local ruling, if somebody doesn't like that, they're allowed to take that to what? What do they call it? They take it to a higher court. Is that an equal court? No. We just called it a higher court. And there could be a higher court after that, and you could just go on in the appeals process. Now, it has an end, and the end would be at the top of the pyramid, which would be the Supreme Court. But they're not all equal. I think we realize this. So these things were given out, and they were different amounts. Not equal amounts, different amounts. Given according to ability that each one of these men had. And because there were different amounts given to ability, it necessarily follows that they all had different abilities. How hard is that to fathom? I don't think that it is. Except outside of the scriptures. People just have no concept about this at all. So there can be equal opportunities. And each one of these person had an equal opportunity. They were given something. You do something with it. You and I are given whatever we're given by God. We have opportunities to do something with it. It depends largely on us as to what we do and the stewardship that we show. Good stewardship is determined by productivity. 5 talents or 2 talents, as I've said just a moment, the last few minutes there, it's given according to his own ability. The 5 talent and the 2 talent men were commended and rewarded. Even though they were different in original amounts, you know what? They both gained 100%, didn't they? Yeah, that's right. But the one talent man, while he could have gained something, and that's explained for us, first, you could have taken this and just got the interest off of it. But he didn't. He chose to do nothing. I like this. I didn't come up with this. I borrowed it. He dug a hole for the talent and dug a deeper one for himself. I thought, well, that's just a real good statement, isn't it? And we can understand that. And he tried to shift the blame, actually, to his master. But he was responsible, and he was accountable for his actions, or if you prefer, for his lack of actions. And this really reminds me, the whole account does, of what's said over in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27, where the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to His works. I think that's appropriate, and that fits in well with what's said there in this parable. So, you know, the outcome is that we need to be productive. Now, some practical observations here, just a few. All Christians are not equally equipped. That's just a fact of the Scriptures. Do you remember Moses? When God told Moses, you go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go, and Moses said, well, I'm not a good speaker. My brother Aaron, now, boy, you know, he can talk the ears off of a statue if he gets a chance, that kind of thing. And fine, you know, get Aaron. I'll tell you and you tell Aaron. If that's what it... Actually, I think Moses was trying to get out of it, but, you know. But it must have been the truth about it, that Aaron was a better speaker. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, that he's better. He at least he realizes this narrative. But it does make our point that they're not exactly... everybody's equally equipped. And you know, when there are spiritual gifts, now I know there's no spiritual gifts today, miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look over here. There's a discussion of the giving of these things, starting in verse 7. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now watch how this breaks down. It says to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now watch. But one and the same Spirit works all these things behind them all, empowering all these. Distributing to each one, what's that word? Individually, the old translation I believe has severally, but individually, as He wills. The people at Corinth received spiritual gifts. But everybody in the church at Corinth didn't receive every single spiritual gift. Some got the gift of tongues. Some got the gift of knowledge. Some got the working of miracles. You see what it's saying there? So even when it comes down here to spiritual gifts, they were individual in nature. Not everybody got the same thing. And whenever this was taking place. But then here's the point. Whatever one has, he's responsible for what he does with it. Romans 14, verse 12, going to judge according to their deeds. Now, by proper employment of what one has, increase will be the result. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And we don't want that. But the latter part says, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Proper employment? Look what can happen. And everyone is going to be judged individually, each of us, we're told, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done to the body, each one, whether good or bad. What else do we find? Well, we find there that, like back in the parable we looked at, that there are those, and we know this, there are those that are slothful in their duty. It's a word that's not used too much anymore. I heard that on a television program the other day, right out of the clear blue. This fellow was, this was one of these guys that my friend of mine used to describe as a lost ball in high weeds, you know what I mean? And he finally got some people basically to take care of him, and they provided him with a place to live and food and one thing or another, and they took care of him. And then what did they get for that? Well, he walked the dogs, and he fed the dogs, and he mowed the grass. And of course, then it was, well, you're not doing very much for all of this and everything. He's saying, I'm doing what I can, and it's a good thing. Because he said, sloth is a tool of the devil. I don't know, it just seemed to be odd, you know, the phrase, sloth is the tool of the devil. But there are those that are slothful, aren't they? I think that's what one translation has. That the man who had the one talent man was slothful. Genesis chapter 3. You've got some folks here that were slothful in their duties. And once this all came out, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, and there comes an accounting, where the Lord called out to Adam and said, where are you? And what follows after that is that they're going to have to be called on the carpet. They're going to have to give an accounting of their actions. And they've been slothful in their duty. You could eat of every other tree in the garden except for this one. And the devil comes up there to instill doubt in Eve's mind. God didn't say that you would die. You will not surely die. And you know what else he added in there? He said he knew that the day you eat of it, you will be like him, knowing good and evil. That's what he said, wasn't it? Do you realize what he's saying? If we put this in the vernacular of today, you know what the devil was saying? If you don't eat of that tree, you're going to miss out on a real good deal. And they believed it. That's exactly what he was saying. But they were slothful in their duty. And what did they do? Well, they went to blame someone else. You know, Adam blamed the woman. Blamed the woman, and he said, you know, the woman that you gave to me. I guess he blamed the woman and God both. And then Eve, she blamed the serpent. There's finger pointing everywhere, isn't there? That's what happens when we're slothful in our duty. It's always someone else. And what did this man do? Well, I'm not really the problem, you know, because I didn't gain anything with that talent you gave me. You're really the problem. You're a hard man. You're unfair. I'm afraid of you. People are going to be judged unacceptable, not only for doing what is wrong, but they will also be held responsible for neglecting to do what is right. Isn't that what the point is over there in James chapter 4 and verse 17? We've probably heard that passage before. That the one who knows what the right thing is to do, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Obviously, if you do something wrong, that's sinful. But here, you're not doing what's the right thing to do. Well, that's sinful as well. And if the one who neither gained or lost in this situation is judged unaccountable, what about me? What about you? It should cause us to be concerned about it. So what we should do, take your songbooks, turn to the song that's been selected. We should not be a one-talent man. And if you know what you're supposed to do, you ought to do it. And you ought to do it right now. Now, to become a child of God, you need to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess sin before men, and to be baptized. Why should you do that? Because the Master has given those things to you to do. It's Jesus who said we need to do these things, to believe in Him, to repent, to confess, and to be baptized. And if we can assist you in doing that, and you could become a child of God tonight, we'd be happy to do that very thing. If you're subject, why don't you come all together, we stand and sing.